Otakuology Podcast with Otaku Mike Engine Graves.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Otakuology Podcast. I'm your host, Otaku Mike, and with me as always is my adventuring dungeon delving partner in crime, aka my heterosexual life partner, Jen Graves.
What's up, guys?
We gotta say, we're still going through the dungeon right now, and we are on episode 17 and 18 of Delicious in Dungeons. And we got a good one for you guys today. It's a little damp and dark in here right now. We need a little light to shine us through this way to get through this episode. Because it's like not the first, there's like multiple times we tried to record this episode. Oh, and we've had like the worst luck ever.
Right? Stupid weather.
Stupid weather. God damn it.
Stupid tornadoes.
But I mean, let's just start out with like, you know, what happened like last episode.
So the past one, like episode 16?
Yeah.
So episode 16, we basically got like where Shiro's group and what's the dark skin Leo's?
Cabra.
There we go, yeah.
Cabra.
Shiro and Cabra's groups ended up basically finding Leos's and teaming up, and we kind of dropped a hard bomb on Shiro. I don't know if I can call him our boy because I don't feel a connection to Shiro. But Leos, our boy, dropped a bomb.
Our boy Leos dropped the bomb.
Yeah. Dropped a bomb on him because of telling him that they use dark magic to bring Fallon back.
Yes.
And then at the end of it, we kind of got this weird situation in a bell tower where we did see Fallon kind of sitting mm-hmm. there, but
it was not all of Fallon.
Not all of Fallon. It was kind of like there's a huge ass chicken with red legs behind her.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where we go into this episode.
Put in a Baba Yaga joke there.
So, I don't have one.
All I know about Baba Yaga is that she's like a witch hag thing, and then, you know, she has a house with chicken legs. So.
Okay. Wait, no, I do know Baba Yaga was in the second reboot Tomb Raider game.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing is that I know is, you know what it is, because I know, but I haven't seen the series, so I don't know. Keanu Reeves, and he plays the guy in the suit with the long black hair and stuff.
John Wick.
They call him Baba Yaga.
He's the Baba Yaga.
Yeah. But yeah, Baba Yaga is actually the witch.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird, but okay, we'll go with it.
They gave him a woman witch's name.
He should be the warlock.
That's true. Ooh. Can we? No, we can't petition. There's already four movies out.
Yeah.
But there is not a Baba Yaga in Delicious in Dungeon as of yet, so we're all safe.
But we,
until somebody gets murked,
like you said, we start this episode off where Shiro is basically pointing a sword at Leos's throat. Shit has hit the fan. They found out that Fallon was resurrected. And Fallon's gone now. And Shiro basically thinks that it's all Leos' fault for what he did. He did this horrible thing. Like you said, he resurrected his sister. You know?
Which, I want to talk about this part real quick, too. Okay. Because I kind of feel like this was a little bit of bullshit on Shiro's part. Not so much Cabra, because we had a long talk. If you watched the last episode where I basically dogged on Cabra, if you're a Cabra fan, fuck you, okay? But Cabra,
we just lost our entire audience.
nobody should like Cabra at this point, okay? Until he like makes like a grand gesture, nobody fucking needs to like Cabra, okay? But in the last one, we talked about in depth, kind of, sort of, about how, well, because you kind of agreed with it, about how whenever the information came up, that Cabra was probably the person that was going to rat everybody out.
Yeah.
I know we know this shit about Shiro, but we kind of have like a little bit of a shield with everything with Fallon with Shiro. Mm-hmm. So Cabra is the guy that I think, no matter what's going to happen, if we get thrown under the bus, it's Cabra's fault.
Which they mentioned that, like, you know, Laos, later on they mentioned, like, Laos can't return to the surface. Neither can the rest of the party, because they're all kind of marked with this black magic in a sense.
We can't get out because people will know.
Yeah, because the whoever is like the what do you, you know, like the people that you're at the airport, you know, the TSA. They're like the TSA for magic users.
For the dungeon, yeah.
Yeah, for the dungeon.
The elves.
And they'll be like, oh, this person used black magic. Gotta take him out.
Yeah. So, two things I want to touch on this one. One of them related, which makes me laugh because I know the other day when we tried to record this, we brought both of these up many times. But the first one was whenever Chilchuck was figuring out who he was going to go with, and he picked Laos because he thought it would be a lot easier to cover Laos saying something stupid in front of, or he went with Senshi to think that, you know, he could basically cover up, like, eating monsters in front of the other ladies, like Mizuru, that Shiro came down with.
Yeah.
But then in this episode, Chilchuck brings up, I was so stupid, I should have made sure, because Laos has no chill when he tells people stuff.
Yeah. He has no filter, basically.
He doesn't. Which goes into the second one.
Yes.
Where he is too gullible, and he thinks too much. I think that people are good. It doesn't have that filter to say people,
like,
are bad.
He feels like everybody is good-hearted, I feel like.
Yes.
Or good-natured.
I would throw this in that Laos, as far as we know right now, Laos is like the absolute pinnacle of everybody that has golden retriever energy.
Oh my god.
And I have a thing to second that.
Yeah.
Every time he relates anything to a dog.
You mean basically Laos is a good boy.
Laos is a very good boy.
Laos is a very good boy.
He needs head pats. But on the flip side, fuck Cabra. So
fuck Cabra. I love the scene. I love the scene when Chilchuck comes in and he's like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you know, and Shiro basically runs off and because there's monsters that are attacking. And I love the scene where Chilchuck comes in. He's like, what did you tell Shiro, Laos? And he's like, oh, I told him everything.
No, Shiro hadn't run off yet. But Yeah, this is where him and Laos got in the fight, remember?
Okay.
And then this is the second one that I wanted to make out of this thing that you and I both talked about really liking. Because Laos actually calls himself out on this. He goes, in any other day, Shiro, you would have kicked my ass.
Yeah.
But because you haven't slept right and you haven't had decent meals in the dungeon, you will never defeat me.
He also kind of calls Shiro a hypocrite when the fact that you know, he says that Shiro would have done the exact same thing that Laos did.
Yes. Yes.
Because he knows that Shiro will basically do anything for Fallon. And we found this out in this episode.
Right. Right. Well, and we also found out this little gold nugget that I feel like is going to come back later
When we get to that in this episode, let's talk about that. But let's get to the big reveal.
No, I mean real quick, the gold nugget was where Shiro, we see kind of like the time lapse where Shiro is like trying to do all this stuff to like show Fallon that he kind of cares.
Yeah.
Cuz he's sweet on Fallon, but Laos is always there. And remember what he says. after like the first few questions, he basically wanted to tell Leos to like leave him alone.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm just too, you can't say it to him because Leos is too nice of a guy.
Yeah. And Leos doesn't pick up on it.
So this is the gold nugget I feel like will come later on in the series, not in these two episodes, but later on in the series to actually bite Shiro in the ass, because he basically said, like, Leos is like, why didn't you tell me that? Like,
yeah,
Leos never understood that.
No, Leos never really understood, because let's be honest, you know, like, Shiro is Leos's first friend he's ever made.
That he's thought, yeah.
He's thought of his friend. But we get to this big, the big event in this, well, one of the big events in this episode. The reveal that there are harpies attacking, and the harpies have a leader, that being Chimera Fallon.
Wait, I need you back up.
What?
I need you to tell me the nitty-gritty detail of how ugly these harpies are, because that made me laugh the most. Every time we tried recording this before, and you were like, these harpies are ugly, and then put in like a paragraph of insert a paragraph of dialogue from Otaku Mike.
These harpies are not your typical like anime harpies you would see. These are like, they have like bird bodies with like human tits and like a human head, and it's just, it looks like chickens with like boobies, but like chickens technically do have breasts
and heads
and heads. And it's so weird. Like they made harpies, like, you know, like harpies were supposed to be kind of like attractive, you know, like in like anime usually makes harpies kind of attractive. You know, they usually have like the human body with wings and then like, you know, taloned feet or whatever.
Yeah. Like, but like Poppy,
like Poppy. Yeah. Like Poppy, yeah. The harpy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say Poppy isn't necessarily attractive, but that's just not my taste, you know?
No, I'm just talking about like that body style.
Yeah. Like that body style. But this Delicious in Dungeon takes the harpies in such a odd direction. It very much takes you off guard, I feel like.
For the harpies.
And it takes everybody else off guard.
No shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, after we tried to do all that, I started thinking about all the different harpy things that I know. So, of course, you know, we got the our sacred text, you know, the Monster Girl Encyclopedias.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, like, the harpy in there is pretty cute, you know?
Yeah.
But then I really started thinking about it, like, these ones are butt ugly. The harpy from The Last Unicorn is butt ugly. Jason and Argonauts, the live action, they're butt ugly. And then I was like, do I know another one that they're, like, attractive? So I set on 1.5 of them, which was the Harpy Ladies from Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah. And then the other one was, and it's really fucking weird still, because this is up your alley.
Okay.
And I was reincarnated as a Demon King or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He actually has harpies in that.
Does he?
But the way that these fucking harpies look, think of a centaur with the chicken body and wings, and then the top half is like the woman from like the waist up.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll give half of that, you know, like.
But yeah, these harpies are attacking the party. And we also get the reveal, which the ninjas go hard on these harpies. Like, they attack them pretty easily.
Which is true.
I love seeing like them attacking, like just taking them out and whatnot. But, we get the reveal of Chimera Fallon, which there's such a big reveal of her. Cause we know in the last episode, we get the glimpse of her,
right?
But she said, fool, like regale, you know. And Leos is, like, you think it's going to be this really, it is this really big dramatic event. But what Leos says breaks the tension so fucking hard. And it makes it, like, funny. Because he sees Fallon. Everybody sees Fallon.
I feel like I'm forgetting what this part is.
Yeah, everybody sees Fallon. And he's like, Fallon, oh my God, it's you. And he's like, you're so free. You look so freaking cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I forgot like what you were talking about. Cause isn't he the one too? Like he's talking about, okay, there's harpies. And he's like, what's that big thing? You know, it looks like da da da. And then like he really hones in and sees that it's Fallon. And he's like, oh, and then we get that bit.
He's like, oh my God, you're awesome. Which took me off guard because I thought it would be kind of like almost horrified at the situation.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know Fallon got turned into this. They just thought she disappeared.
No.
Yeah. And this is where we get the massacre of the party members.
Yes.
Which I like to point out. It with Delicious in Dungeons.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, and when I first started watching this, I thought it would be like your typical food show with action thrown in.
Right.
When they have action and with the serious parts, one thing I really, really like is the amount of violence that just comes out of nowhere. And you're not expecting it and it just hits you. Just hates you right there.
Well, and so I like to call those, especially because of the company that makes it, I call those trigger moments.
Trigger moments?
Because, I mean, you know, like we're doing this stuff and then like traditionally, like anything we've seen that's trigger wise, when you got this kind of epic fight scene, like, you know, you go, oh my God, you know, that's what they do the best is like these epic little fight scenes, like it gets into it and it's awesome. So,
but yeah, know, like
it's a trigger moment,
like seeing people like just get their heads crushed in, you know, stomped and crushed.
Oh my gosh,
what
I was just thinking, I thought it was fucking hilarious when I get a text message from Tiffany and she goes, oh my God, Cobra got his head crushed, and I was like, I haven't watched it yet.
It's true, because, like, you know, like, it's a pretty, like, hardcore scene. Like, everybody's going at it, you know, Shiro's going after him, Cobra's going after him, Cobra's party's going after him. They get decimated. One of them summons an Undyne, which really does some work on Fallon, which is...
Shit, right? They could have almost taken her out with that.
Yeah, and she basically sucks it up. She sucks it up with her magic, and I was like, oh, that's so cool. Because, you know, we've never seen a monster do magic.
Yes.
Technically, Fallon is a hybrid, you could say.
Yes.
And like they're like, oh my God, you know, call off the Undying, call it off, you know? And they're like, no, this is what we got to do. We see Cobra slowly taking off his armor, you know? And... He sneaks behind, which I didn't know this was going to happen. He sneaks behind her and he basically tries to stealth kill her.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with that. Cause he definitely, I think the big thing that we have to think about is like when we had that one episode, this is the only time I'm ever going to say I was happy about that one fucking episode where it was all focused on Cobra's party.
Okay.
Because we kind of got his insight whenever he took the armor off, it was so it wouldn't weigh him down. And he basically, like, slit her throat, stabbed her in the heart, stabbed her in both the lungs. Yeah, stabbed her in the stomach, like, did all this, was about to, like, gore her to death.
Yeah.
And it just, none of it fucking worked.
Yeah, because her organs weren't there.
As far as we know, yeah.
As far as we know,
her organs weren't there. Or she's got another set, or, I mean, there's plenty of things.
Yeah.
What this is something that I saw was really funny too, though, because, you know, we had Kuro, which is the dog kobold.
Yeah.
And
that's Otaku Tiff's new favorite character.
Kuro?
Yeah.
He's pretty cool.
She didn't like it when he died.
But with this is where I keep seeing some stuff and I wonder if it's true. They were talking about if they think that she related Kuro to Laos or a dog that they had before. Because, what do you because he bit her.
And
he didn't do anything, and she just looked at him and was like, oh, doggy, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And then the next time he bit her and actually stabbed her in the wing, like, that's when it became more of a problem. So,
yeah.
I kind of want to know if there was anything like that.
If they'd be like, oh, the doggy's just playing with me type of thing.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because she was clearly out for blood with every other member except for Kuro, because she like saved him for last.
Yeah, it was pretty pretty violent and pretty unexpected.
Yes.
And I love the attack, that like the whole like whatever the attack was that she used, like she like summoned all the spikes up in the air, and everybody basically barely made it out with their lives. I mean, a lot of them died, but can we just appreciate the MVP of this fight, who is Senshi, who never drops the food tray at all.
Yes.
Which I was watching, I was like, he still has the food.
Yes.
He didn't take much damage.
And he didn't take much damage, yeah. But, you know, everything happens, you know. Everybody picks themselves up. They, they barely survive this. Shiro and Laios get into it. Laios starts talking, come on, we can do this. I can do this. I know we can do this. I know we can get Fallon back. And we come to find out that Shiro hates Laios.
Yes.
He hates him with a passion. Like you said before, Laios is too gullible, or he doesn't pick up on the hints. Every time, all these nice memories Laios has of Shiro. Shiro has the opposite of Laios. Right. And he's like, I fucking hate this guy.
Shiro just took a shit on all those memories.
Yeah. He took a shit on those memories. He's like, I fucking hate your guts. You're so annoying. Oh, we ate monster meat. Oh, we killed the dragon. Oh, we did this.
Yes. And
he's like, I fucking hate you, you stupid son of a bitch.
Right. Well, and besides, fuck Cabra. But
yeah, fuck Cabra.
Cabra also gives us a little more thing, which, Shiro brings it up. And right before Cabra leaves, he does kind of bring it up to, I think her name's May? The girl that's in his group, the wizard chick.
Yeah, I think it was May or May. I don't remember what her name. There, a lot of those people are unimportant to me, I feel like.
Right. They haven't done anything eventful.
No.
She asked Cabra something about it, and he brings up too part of the stuff about how gullible Laios is. Like, he doesn't really have a bad bone in his body.
Yeah,
which,
and he
seems really weird coming from Cabra.
Which makes him be like, we're not gonna press the lost jewels and lost stuff incident that happened before.
Right. So, but that whole group of people, Cabra's group and Shiro's group, all decide that they're going to return back up to the surface, mm-hmm. except for Itsumi, which has gone and nobody knows where she's at.
Yeah, she's just MIA.
And she's been in MIA, I think, since the Fallon fight started.
Yeah.
So nobody knows exactly where she is. Mm-hmm. But we do know that she's got to be somewhere.
Yeah, and they were like, oh, she'll eventually show up.
Yes.
Because she's, apparently good at her job or whatever. She's, really a really strong fighter or something. Like, she'll eventually show back up, is what they say.
Yeah.
And Shiro gives Laios a bell. And he's like, hey, there's a twin bell. When you get to the surface, ring it, and we'll basically give you, asylum to the country Shiro lives in.
Yeah, to the, I guess it's the Eastern Islands.
Yeah, something like that. Because after they get back up, they're not going to be able to basically return to their normal lives.
Right. Which, and let me point this out, because I thought, too, like, how everything broke down, you know, the stack of how stuff happened.
Yeah.
Shiro was the one that was basically going to be the one to be the whistleblower, right?
Yeah.
So then for him to turn around and give him this bell to say, you know, you'll be hunted because da-da-da-da and XYZ, you know, and you can just come back and stay with me because you'll be hunted. I'm like, then what's the continuity of bringing up on the surface anyway to have this guy that is your supposed friend get hunted and then give him asylum in the East Islands?
Well, did he...
Does you he see think, what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, maybe he had, like, a change of heart?
Maybe. I don't know.
Because, like...
Because I don't think they sent a message up there either.
No. I don't think they did at all.
They'd be like, Mike, I'm going to tell somebody that you stole this, you know, episode or book 19 of Monster Masame and da-da-da-da. But if you steal me one too, then we're good. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Well, I'm telling on you anyway, but then you're going to bring, giving me something. Like,
I kind of feel that Shiro has a change of heart because of what Leo says to him. Is the fact that, you know, we're going to try to bring Fallon back. We're not going to kill her. If they don't have to. Like, what he wants to do is he wants to go for the Mad Mage. Like, that's what he wants to go after.
Yes.
And hopefully, you know, he can set things right and whatnot after that. After he defeats the Mad Mage.
They do kind of bring it up that they're like, you know, I got to stay down here, Shiro, at least to, like, take Fallon out. And then when they really started brainstorming is when they brought up the part with the Mad Mage.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it turned out great.
And we also find out that Shiro confesses his love to Fallon and proposed to her.
Yes.
As well. We find that out, which I was like, oh, and she didn't say anything to him? Like,
right?
She just left him hanging?
Oh, Shiro?
Yeah.
She told him he was going to have to wait.
Did he? Did she?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. And that's kind of like the end of this episode. Like, our party walks off and separates.
Yeah. They go through the... Cabra and Shiro's groups get to go through that little cool portal back to the thing, which is a little wall scroll.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I have to say. Oh, we forgot to mention the whole... there's one thing I wanted to mention.
Okay.
And you wanted to mention too. So the part where Fallon rips off her shirt.
Oh yeah.
And I love the scene where they're like, why did she do that? What's she doing?
Right.
Like the whole like comedic bits are so funny in this episode.
Yeah. Where Shiro and Marcel are like, oh my God, don't cover yourself.
Yeah.
That's what the vibe was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a complaint.
Oh yeah?
In this one? Yeah, you already know the complaint, but I'm gonna voice it live.
Okay. Okay.
No, my complaint is with this, and they're trying to be accurate to the manga, and Fallon is like two or three cup sizes too small when she rips her shirt off. So, complaint lodged. Okay.
You heard it here, Trigger.
Complaint is lodged. Okay. Now, and I would say the only way that I don't feel like I would be upset is you can clearly tell, like, every time while she's wearing the clothes that she wears,
yeah,
that she is very busty.
Yeah.
Well, then it's kind of like, when we get to the part where she actually rips her shirt off, it's a smaller size than what we've had basically being depicted from episode one.
That was probably just like a little change they did with the character design, I feel like, you know. Because I've seen pictures of the manga, and I was like, oh, these look pretty accurate to the what we're seeing in the anime.
Yeah.
So for them to like tweak this little thing,
yeah, to make them smaller. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not complaining because I mean, a lot of people online are really thirsty for Chimera Fallon.
It's only because she's got underboob, okay?
Only because she's got underboob. Yeah.
No, that's my only thing, you know, like if we're just trying to do that, and like if you really look at just how the clothes are put on her or whatever, yeah, through the thing, you can tell that they're bigger, and when she rips them off, it's not, you know, it's like they gave her like a water brawl or something, like booster size, and when she rips the shirt off, the thing goes with it, you know. So
it's like a push-up bra.
Yeah, or you know, she had some extra sandbags in there or something. Like
the cruelest joke ever invented by man, the push-up bra.
Right. So that's really the only thing with that is, you know, what we're depicted as.
Yeah.
From that and how close it looks like to the manga, and like if you really put it side by side, how they look so different. That's really the only thing. If they wouldn't have depicted Fallon as being more busty, uh-huh, with the clothes, I don't think I would be like as like, but you know, whenever we get to that scene where she rips it off and it's like they're a lot smaller than what we've been seeing.
I mean, I feel like that's a fair complaint. I, you know, so,
yeah, I mean, it's just like it's a play on the artwork too, you know, like you should have done it from the beginning.
When you told me that, I just pictured you like pushing up your glasses and being like, that's not in the manga. Or like, oh, that's not how the manga depicted it.
No, I got my Otaku Mike face going stern, and then I pushed my glasses up and I go, well, to pervs everywhere, I am sorry that they fucked up on depicting these. If you need to, though, there are plenty of other websites like Faku, or you can even purchase your own Monster Girl Encyclopedia for blah, 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 blah. Or go see a nice pair of whatever, you know, boobs you want to see in Worlds in Harem or Monster Musume or whatever, where they're actually accurate size.
Yeah, but moving on to the next episode.
Episode 18.
Yeah.
Because this one is... 18 is called Shapeshifter?
Yes.
Shapeshifter. And... Only shapeshifter? Only shapeshifter yet.
I think so.
Oh, and then it's some kind of weird word.
Oh, yeah.
Never mind. It's shapeshifter transliteration.
Okay.
Transliteration.
Oh. Wait. No. You got it right?
Never mind. I'm reading from the source, and the translation for it is shapeshifuta. Which is shapeshifter in Japanese.
Yeah, so this one starts out in a snowstorm.
I'm thinking about myself saying that. I was like, that sounded really weird. I feel like you should say that. Try and read this, Mike.
I don't know if I can. Shampoo, shit, shoot.
That means Shipu Shifuda.
Shipu Shifuda. I'm just gonna stop while I'm ahead.
I feel like we're gonna start getting messages on Instagram or whatever, like voice recordings. No, you guys, it's pronounced Shipu Shutofuta. We're gonna get some random shit off the walls. Like, no, this is actually how you say it.
Okay,
Jesus.
Moving along.
Hey, if we did that, I would definitely put a blooper reel at the end of one of our next episodes just for people to have that.
Okay.
So, if you want to get aired on a show, message us.
But people have to message us first.
That's true. Yeah. I'm gonna go sit in the shower and cry in the corner.
Okay, well, cry into this next episode.
I will.
I'll cry into Shepo Shufuda.
Okay. You want to lead into talking about this episode?
Yes. So, I am actually glad we got this episode because the last one, I felt like kind of should have still been attached to like episodes 16 and 15 when we covered those.
Mm-hmm.
18 kind of almost seemed like its own fresh start, which
it seems like very much like a palate cleanser.
Yes. So we had a couple things that happened. We have where the whole group starts walking and they kind of walk into this dark,
it's like a hallway.
Yeah, it's like a hallway with like jail cells.
Yeah, and it's snowing. There's a giant snowing? Yeah, there's a giant snow, like a blizzard. They can't see each other at the beginning.
They walk through the blizzard into
because
we're on like floor six now, I think.
Yeah.
So they walk through the blizzard, then they kind of like find this place to go, which turns into a dark hallway with like prison cells. And then Laos, you know, goes, oh, I'm grabbing somebody's hand, which we should have already gotten the thing there because how different people said, I'm here. You're like, some kind of shit's going down already. Okay?
Like, I'm here. And we see everybody. I
was really waiting for this part not to be shapeshifters. Uh-huh. Like, because I didn't read what it was called before I started this. I was like, oh my God, Laos is going to be holding like a zombie hand or something. And like turn around and there's like a zombie sitting there or, you know, like holding a ghost or something.
We see everybody grabbing each other's hands like in a chain.
We don't see that at all. We just see the attempt.
Well, it looked like they were because at the end we see a person's hand who we've never seen before.
Right.
Which we'll get to that in the next episode after this one. You know.
No, it's the same episode.
Is it?
I think so, yeah.
Are you sure?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know if I watched the next one or not.
Okay, well, no spoilers. No spoilers for you.
No spoilers for you.
But, we get
says this. Says the one that let somebody message me and the copper's gonna get his head stomped on.
You enjoyed that moment.
I did. It was a win for the Everybody Hates Cobra fan party.
But so they get through this blizzard, and it becomes like a dark hallway where they can't see. They're blind. Correct?
There's no lights.
There's no lights at all. And they shine the light up, and they find out that there's multiple versions of them. Who is the real one? And that's what we do in this episode, is we try to figure out who is the real party member.
Yes.
Correct?
And this was funny as shit.
Oh, yes. Especially
seeing, I loved it.
Especially like seeing all the different depictions of them and the fact. So we find out that they're shapeshifters. And we find out that they take their depiction of the person based on somebody's memories of that person.
Yes.
And so that's why we get like fucked up versions.
Which makes it super fucking hilarious when it comes down to everybody can pick out Laos's doubles like off the bat.
Because they have like weird faces and they're all misproportioned.
Yes, and it's weird
that
everybody depicts him as being like this ultimate big weirdo of things.
It's funny because we're like, okay, here's Laos's people. Let's go lock him up.
Right? And so then we have like the people for everybody else, which some of them were easy for them to get to here and there, you know.
Yeah.
And then they like pulled out like what people's tools, like what they imagine tools to be.
Yeah.
And I think we get down to the last two pairs of Marcel, Shinchi, and Chilchuck.
Yes.
And Laos basically tells them like, hey, we're going to have a cook-off.
Yeah. Your cook-off to see who is who.
I didn't know that this was going to turn into like Hell's Kitchen.
Also,
Because that is exactly what I felt. Like, it was a cooking show. Because it was like,
okay, well, so this Senshi does this differently than this Senshi.
Leo does kind of look like Gordon Ramsay a little bit.
Oh my gosh. Starts eating somebody's meal. This is fucking raw!
Oh my god, how could you serve this to me?
Right?
Are you a moron?
I wonder if he would have had, like, nightmares of when he got the tapeworm again.
Oh, jeez.
Or whatever. You know, the leech or whatever it was that got in his system?
Yeah, and so Leo decides to have this cook-off, but he pairs everybody up with their doppelganger, is what he does.
Yeah.
So, Senshi A and Senshi B team up. A and B, Marcel, and then A and B, Chilchuck. And he starts to, like, ask them questions, right?
Yes.
Of, like, oh, how did you get this? Like, oh, Senshi, how did you get these harpy eggs? How did you acquire them, you know? And so he starts, like, putting, like, two and two together of which one's which. And I love the point where they're like, oh, how do you know which one is Senshi?
I just want to add in, like, it's pretty crazy, the stuff. Because how Leos asks questions, you wouldn't really think about it till he actually answers it all.
Yeah.
And explains it. Because when he first started, like, asking those questions, I didn't think shit about it.
Yeah.
And then towards the end of the episode, whenever he was able to pick him out, I was like, oh my god, this makes so much sense what he asked.
Yeah, and honestly, like, looking at each character, like, there are parts where I'm like, which one is the real Senshi? You know, which one is the real Marcel?
I didn't have a problem with the Senshis or the Chilchucks or the Leoses.
Uh-huh.
But there were three of the Marcels I was confused on until they did the... talked about pulling out, like... Her wand. I almost called it arugula, but that's not it. Ambrosia. Yeah. One of them, when you looked at that, like, I knew, and I was down to the last two as well. Yeah. So that was pretty easy because I forgot what Marcel's hair looked like.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was the only one really I had problems with. But, you know, the first one of the pair with Senshi's, like, one of them obviously looked too dynamic.
One of them was very handsome.
Which I fucking love that part where, like, everybody's like, doesn't the other Senshi look, like, too handsome? Isn't he kind of, like, a little dopey? And, like, and Senshi didn't say shit about it. I was like,
he was like, like, I don't know, what would he say?
I don't know. You know, and I really thought about, like, what you and I would do in this situation, and I was like, I think we could be able, and we'd only have to pick out two. You know, there's not more of us on the podcast today. I was like, we'd only have an A and B.
Yeah.
I was like, I bet yours would be, like, shorter than you. And I'd be like, no, this is the real Mike. Because, you know, that one's too short.
Yeah, because they were also, like, kind of pulling from their memories as well.
Yes. On stuff. Well, and that's what each one was, is it was pulled from what another person thought about it.
Yeah.
So the dynamic Senshi was pretty easy, I think, for us. And then of the Chilchucks, the other one just seemed a little too happy-go-lucky because his cheeks were rosy.
And Chilchuck is very much like a nihilist?
Chilchuck is a Shikamaru.
He's like a realist.
Yeah, like, oh, what a drag. Like, Chilchuck is a Shikamaru. Like, you know that. So, like, having him where he's all, like, happy-go-lucky, peppy, and you're like,
That's not our Chilchuck.
Are you Bluey? Like, no, you're wrong. That's not you.
You're more like Muffin.
Chilchuck's more like Muffin?
Yeah.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
I don't know. The happy-go-lucky Chilchuck?
No, the other one. The normal Chilchuck.
Oh, yes. I could see that as the drag muffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, you know, but we got good questions, like the Senshi ones were like where he got the harpy eggs and stuff. The Chilchuck one was, oh shoot,
I don't remember what it was.
Chilchuck's was,
do you remember?
I think he asked, and it was more so of how Chilchuck reacted to it. No, it was how he had them prepare stuff.
Ah.
Remember, in the happy-go-lucky Chilchuck sat on a box.
Oh, yeah, because it could have been a mimic.
Yeah, he was like, after our travels, like, the real Chilchuck knows that it could have been a mimic and everything, and so I knew it wasn't him, because Chilchuck would have been way skeptical. That's why he sat on his bedroll.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he knew it was real, you know.
Yeah.
Since she was the harpy egg, so where would he do that? And the other one, he's like, you know, where did you find him at? He goes, oh, I found him in a house, and I took everything that was there.
Yeah.
Which, that one I felt pretty easy. Whenever they brought it up, I was like, oh, yeah. I was like, I wouldn't even thought about that. But since she is all about that, we've seen him the entire time with the golems and everything else. Like, since she always says, don't take too much.
Yeah, don't take too much.
I mean, we even saw that the last time with the Dryad episode.
Yeah, he only takes a couple.
He said, don't take a lot. You need to make sure it survives.
Yeah.
So, you know, very conscious. Then, you know, we had the whole Marcel thing, which, that was funny as shit to me.
Yeah, how so?
Because, you know, he brought up that, and fake Marcel brought up about eating the fish eggs and all the other stuff or whatever. And I think he said something else about her. But Marcel, after they find this out, goes, oh, isn't it funny? I've never eaten fish eggs.
Yeah, I've never eaten fish eggs.
And he was just sitting back like, I'm Marcel, not going to say anything to Marcel.
Marcel didn't know they had fish eggs at one point.
Right. And then she ends up bringing, it was in the grain, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Which, that was funny. And then we get the whole scene where we get the, what was it called? Like the wolf thing.
It was the shapeshifter, but it was like a kitsune.
Okay.
Like a nine-tailed fox almost.
Which, I love Laos's thing, because it gets brought up before that, like, Laos is good at dog impressions.
Yes.
Like, he practices barking. And he gets out on all fours, and he starts to, like, bark at this thing. We don't know what it is at first. And then, like, it reveals itself to be this, like you said, like a kitsune type of,
yeah, like animal. A nine-tailed fox.
Yeah. Yeah. And Laos is just, like, barking at it and whatnot, and trying to, like, throw it off its guard and stuff.
You know what this reminded me of?
What?
Whenever he did the squaw at the
carpenters. Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah, I was like, Laos is a little too in tune with monsters.
Even like with like the artwork or the draw animation, when he gets on all fours and whatnot, he very much looks like canine-ish. Like,
yes.
Like, he's almost depicted as a dog, like, just the way he's drawn.
Yes.
Which is a very nice little detail they had, I feel like.
Yes, I agree.
But my mind's going, I think
that's what makes it stand out.
My mind's going a little blank at this point. I forgot how they defeat it.
They defeat it by him doing that, and then they attack it.
Okay.
Yeah, he attacks it, so it's gone.
Do they explode it?
Yeah.
I want to say they use, like, explode, and they, like, blow off its head.
Yeah, Marcel does it.
That's right. I don't know why I forgot about that.
Because then Laos is standing too close for it, and he kind of gets blowback.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he gets exploded too.
And then they bring up how all the food that they made, you know, is fake, because it's just fake leaves. But Laos's answer to this is, well, why don't we just really make it?
It kind of reminds me of this Usagi story I read a while back. It was called, like, I forget what it's called. But in it, there's a wolf. And the wolf...
Is it a humanoid wolf, or is it a... Like a real wolf.
It's kind of like humanoid-esque. Okay. And it has this thing trapped in a box. And the box ends up like turning into like this like witch woman, but she's made of like leaves. And that's what it kind of reminded me of.
Okay.
Yeah. When the like the leaves all like exploded.
Yes.
I think he was trying to keep like fall or like something in like from coming. I can't remember exactly what the story 100% what the story was about.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's kind of like a Jack Frost character then.
Kind of, yeah, a little bit ish, kind of. But like when the leaves exploded, that's what it reminded me of, like was that particular issue of the book of the comic series.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
We'll have to post a picture of that.
But
on the Instagrams.
Don't they eat the leaves?
No, remember he tries one of them because he thinks that the food's still good, and then he's like, well, why don't we really make the food?
That's right.
Of course, you know, out of part of that, they also find like a bag of rice that's missing.
Yes.
And it's kind of tracked off somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get this thing where they actually find out about Itsumi, who actually tells them all that.
Yeah.
You know, about what happened.
Yeah.
So, do you remember watching that?
I remember her showing up.
Okay.
But I don't remember what
then
she says.
I think that goes into episode 19.
It goes in the next episode.
Yes.
It plays a part into that episode, but I don't remember what she says to them exactly. I just remember she's caught with like the bag of rice. And they're kind of like shocked at the end of the episode.
Yeah, because it's just gone.
Yeah, because it's gone. And like they go to like find her. They go to the trail of the rice and they see her. Like, I want to say
they find the empty rice bag.
Is it the empty rice bag? And then they find her?
Yeah, because we don't see her yet until episode 19.
Okay. I might be getting the two net mixed up then.
Yeah. Because the only two context clues we have to go off in this are when the blizzard is blowing.
You see her hand.
You see her hand. And then when the rice bag ends up disappearing.
Yeah, we see her again.
And it goes off somewhere. I don't think we see her. We just find the rice bag.
Okay.
And if you remember, who did they get the rice bag from?
Shiro.
From Mizuru and Shiro's party.
Yeah.
So, what type of people are they? Eastern Talamin.
Yeah.
And who's the person that didn't go back with them?
The cat girl.
Itsumi.
Is that her name? Itsumi.
Yeah. Yeah, her name's Itsumi, but up until this point, she kept getting called Asabi.
Yeah, because she has like a really long name.
Yeah, it's Itsumi.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where the episode ends.
So what would you rate these together?
Together? Okay, just go with me on this.
Okay.
I would give them a 5 out of 5.
Okay.
Like, I really liked the first episode, the episode 17.
Yeah.
I thought that had a big payoff.
Yeah.
In a sense. And just the action, everybody like working together, you know, to try to take down the quote big bad, you know, and seeing like how Laos reacted and stuff and how everybody ended up treating Marcel in such a negative light, which we didn't even talk about that part. You know, her trying to help everybody, but they're like, no, get your fucking filthy hands off these people. You fucking.
Right. And they didn't want her to heal anybody unless it was minor.
Your hands are black and dirty with dark magic. You know, right. We don't know what you're going to do. But I like these two episodes because it like you go from this very serious ish kind of episode with a comedic slant ish. To a really funny episode that came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Which really was almost like a bottle episode, I feel like, because it just dealt with the core four trying to figure out this puzzle that they were in, you know?
Yeah.
which it was funny. It was funny to see them and how they visually depicted everybody else.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious. Like, how they saw everybody else.
Yeah.
Which, we know, we kind of saw that with, like, how Laios saw Shiro.
Well, and some Shiro of them were good.
Yeah.
You know, like, the other one, Ascenshi, that the only way they rolled him out is because his helmet had holes in it.
Yeah.
And it was a Shiro without holes in his helmet. You know, yeah. Like, so... But, I mean, that depiction of Ascenshi was, like, spot on, I thought, except for the helmet.
Yeah.
So...
No, I mean, I really like these episodes.
Yeah, I agree. Like
I thought they were really good.
I'm going to go with a 4.5 because I don't like whole numbers.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
No, I'm going to go with a 4.5 for real, though. Uh-huh. Because, you know, dock it at least a 0.1 because of Cabra. You know, fuck that guy.
Okay, fuck that guy. Fuck that. Fuck Cabra.
The other four are probably just like minor blemishes on both episodes here and there. If I was going to split them up and do 2.5 on each, I would definitely say that episode 18 got full points for 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
It's just stuff with the end of the other one. I feel like part of our turnaround for that one had a few complications with it.
I can see that because there were a little bit of like, what do you call it? Like the way like certain characters reacted to certain things, you wouldn't expect them to react to it.
Yeah.
Because it was like,
and
I mean,
and there was still cool shit that happened in it.
Yeah.
Like I'm still not going to call him my boy, but Cobra trying to do the assassin stabs on Fallon and some other stuff. But I also just think it also came into play, like we've mentioned before, of we're dealing with three different parties.
True.
And that's a lot to have to deal with.
And you also, which you have to, in the back of your mind, really think about it, because like they made such a big deal about these people dying,
yeah,
but in reality death, when they're in the dungeon, death doesn't really mean anything,
right?
If right. you have a healer,
right?
So which, like,
I feel like that goes with a really good meme that I saw the other day that made me fucking laugh.
Okay,
you remember the little gnome guy?
Yeah.
What's his name? Mr. Tetsu?
Something like that.
It was the thing of how, like, cold-hearted he is.
Uh-huh.
And it shows Namari getting the, you know, hit in the head and just laying there, like, basically dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, you know, there's no problem with that. You know, oh, we'll figure it out. And then, Kaka and... what is it? Kaka and Kiki? Something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Kiki gets like a little scratch on her face and he's like, oh, Kiki, come here. Let me heal you. And I was like, that's so him, because he just like is like, oh, Namari, I'll let you die. Yeah. You know, and then with, you know, both of the twins, he's like, oh, you know, you got a little scratch. Yeah. Let me heal you.
No, yeah, I mean, like, I feel like death kind of is irrelevant and doesn't mean anything.
That's true.
In a sense. So, therefore, like, we have these big dramatic, like, deaths. But, like, we get revived, you know? You know, like, it's kind of like the whole Marvel thing. Like, no, nobody ever stays dead. Dead doesn't mean dead.
I agree. I think it's, like, absolute circumstances that dead is dead.
Yeah.
Like, in this instance, it would have almost been when Fallon died, and if all of our bones would have been fully digested, then that would have been different.
Yeah.
You know, so it's either that or, you know, using the gauntlet and snapping your fingers.
Yeah. I will have to say, though, this is kind of outside the anime aspect, kind of, in a sense.
Yeah.
But man, so I joined that Dungeon Mashi Facebook fan group, and I put you in it too.
That's true.
I have to say, I've never recently been in such a rabid fan base.
You've never been in a group with so many thirsty individuals.
Who's been so fucking thirsty. Now, this is not a knock against them at all. But man, whew.
See, and the worst thing about this is sometimes when you're like, man, that group, and I'm like, I don't see what you're seeing, Mike. I don't know what you're seeing. Because, like, I'll just see cool shit. And then you're like, oh my god, this got posted, and I'm like, when?
Yeah, like I'll
see, and I'll try and track them down, and I can't find any.
I'll see like fan art of Cabra and Lyos in like a relationship together.
Oh my god, fuck that!
And how everybody's fucking thirsty for Chimera Fallon.
Oh my god, that's true. I know that.
I think they even mentioned the boob thing too, which we got a boob jiggle, a boob Gainax jiggle in this episode, which was
Should have been better.
It would have been better if they were accurate to size. Yeah,
they need to be comic book accurate.
Comic book accurate, goddammit. Just like Wolverine needs to wear his yellow suit. Black leather.
Comic book accurate. This is Wolverine we're talking about, not Logan.
Yeah, oh god.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed these two episodes. I feel like each episode we keep adding on to stuff, and each episode, story-wise, it keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Oh, I agree. The only other thing that I'd like to add before we end this. Is people need to figure out too, because I see a lot of people that keep trying to say that Dungeon Mushi, and Delicious and Dungeon aren't the same things.
Really?
Yes. They keep trying to bring up how like things are supposedly different. I'm like, no, they're exactly the same thing. One is an English name, one is a Japanese name.
Oh, really? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, I think it was something in the group that they post, and they go, this is what it's like in Delicious and Dungeon, and this is what it's like in Dungeon Mushi. And I was like, no, it's the same fucking thing that's happening. You're just taking two different scenes and throwing them in there different.
Yeah. So I mean, they can also take some liberties with the anime.
That's true. Boob size, for example.
No, I'm not... I mean, I'm not sitting there reading the manga like you are, so I don't have that thing to go off of, in a sense. So like, I'm only anime on this. So all right. I mean,
so I got one more big question to ask you.
Okay,
would you get a Chimera Fallon body pillow to snuggle?
That would be a big body pillow.
No shit, you could like. Put that thing in between your legs.
Are we talking about like
and everything?
Like life size Chimera Fallon body pillow?
No. You know how regular body pillows are like, you know, they're the length of your bed.
Are we talking about like the one that's like, you know, the life size scale, like how the Mia one from Monster Musume was life sized?
I don't think I've seen that.
You where it like wraps around. It's like a good like couple feet long.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
You should look it up. It's a huge body pillow.
I'm talking about the one, like, it just goes to the end of your bed, and then adding in extra material for like it to curve around for the
This one would, like, wrap. You could wrap it around a giant table. That's how big it is.
Jesus. With the snake tail?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I mean, yeah, I would get a Fallon body pillow.
You'd be like, oh, Fallon.
But I mean, like, I've already seen people. I don't
want to ruffle your feathers.
I've already seen people getting like Fallon Chimera tattoos.
That's true.
And I was like, some
people go a little hard.
I was like, that's dedication right there. That's dedication, true. Right there. You know,
I'd be like, do you know how the series ends?
I don't. So I mean,
exactly. Why would you get that tattoo yet?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're just really diehard fans. I don't know.
Must be. Maybe they're just really thirsty.
But yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's listening to the show. Give us feedback on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Rate and review the show. That's the best way you can help this podcast grow and reach other listeners. I just want to say thank you for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next episode, which will be hopefully the next two episodes of Cyberpunk. We'll see. Our scheduling...
Episodes 3 and 4.
Our scheduling got a little mixed up because we did not record the previous week. So we're playing a little catch up here in a sense. But I want to say thank you for listening. Thank you to all the new listeners who have come on to listen to the podcast. We hope you guys are enjoying this new format.
I also want to say stay tuned for possibly a sneak peek episode of Cyberpunk 2077 where when Jin buys it, Otaku Mike gets to ask me questions about my first playthrough of it.
Okay. Well, I'm actually playing through it because I never got to finish Cyberpunk 2077.
Oh, so I can ask you some future questions.
Yeah. Because I only got like halfway through the game and it's a huge fucking game.
I gotta wait till payday and then I'll be there too.
But the thing is, like, we could have two different playthroughs that are totally different. So
that's true too. I thought when you said playthrough, you were on your second playthrough through.
No. So like I am replaying the game because I could not physically play through the game because they stopped patching the game.
Yeah.
So the PS4 had such bad glitches and bugs. Like, I could not get through the game.
Yeah.
So I'm essentially playing the game fresh for the first time, I guess you could say.
Well, so on that special, super-duper, exclusive episode of the podcast.
Okay.
Well, we talk about the video game a little bit to be an aside with our episodes for the anime, Edgerunners. Stay tuned for that as we will probably throw a little thing out of that for you guys to listen to as well.
Yeah, well, stay tuned and we'll see you guys next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.